Today on Real Radio.
This is the God who loves you. He wants you to have a new life. This is the Christ that we walk with. Paul is saying, I walked with the same Christ that you guys heard of. The same Jesus that rose again from the grave.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We've been looking at the last six verses of chapter 12. It's one of the many passages that remind us that we as believers are, quote, on display. In other words, the unbelieving world is watching us to see how we handle life's issues. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in his multi-part series called By the Way You Walk.
Grown men got up and followed him. It's an awesome thing to consider. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, test all things. Listen, test all things, hold fast to what is good, and abstain from every form of evil. How do we walk with God and the steps of God? Keeping this in mind, wherever Jesus goes, he's going to lead you in the right path. Listen, my friends, whenever he is walking, put your feet in his steps and you'll be safe. Follow him. And by doing that, you can understand this. You can do exactly as that verse in Thessalonians talks about. You can test all things. As you walk with God, as you're confident that you're getting up each day, walking with Christ, and issues come, pressures come at work, things come in life, and you begin to test them in light of God's word because you're walking with him. How do I respond to this thing? What's going on regarding this issue? How would Jesus act in this moment of time? This person is saying this to me. I know how I want to react, but how does God's word tell me to react? You're walking in his steps. And then that Bible tells us that we are to be holding fast to that which is good. That implies that we know what's good, that we have the word of God. We know it, and we're hanging on to it. You hang on to it with a death grip in this life. And then the Bible there tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 and 22, that we are abstained from all forms of evil. This is a tremendous instruction for us. And that's how we walk with him, to walk in those steps that God has laid down for us. And that's a very valuable thing to realize, because as we walk in this life, there's a constant barrage of things seeking to pull us off that course. Just hang on to the word of God, but that presupposes you know it. But rejoice in this. In fact, I love this fact and this truth. Right when Jesus had been resurrected from the dead and the whole flurry of that Sunday morning was going on, there was a lot of things happening. There's a lot of words being shared. People are running back and forth through the tomb. People are talking. And I love, there's that manifestation from heaven. And it says, the announcement to the disciples is, go tell the others that Jesus has gone ahead of them into Galilee. Stop right there for a moment. He's the resurrected Jesus Christ. The word to a bunch of confused disciples came from the angels themselves, and they said, hey, get going, head up north. He's gone before you. And I can honestly tell you in life that God has never been working in my life when things are a hurry. I've just never experienced that. I'm prone to hurry. I'm very impetuous that way. Tomorrow's, it's been a long 6, 7, 8 days. Tomorrow's my day off. I can't wait. Now, Lisa has told me, she said this morning, you are sleeping in. Now, number one, I do need to sleep, but I don't like to sleep because I'm afraid I'm going to miss something. And yet she still will not understand, because when she rolls around, she sleeps in all the way till about 7. But when she wakes up, I won't be there. I will have been raptured into the backyard or the garage or something. And the first thing out of her mouth will be, what time did you wake up? Ah, don't worry, I slept in. For me, 6 o'clock, that's like, the day's halfway over. It's already 6 o'clock, okay? It's that. What am I talking about? It's this. Lord, what are we doing today? What are we doing today? But I have found out, even in the excitement of having a day off and what are we going to do today, God's never in a hurry. He's always trying to convince me, Jack, just walk in my steps. Now, you might say, Jack, on your day off, you're going to be concerned about walking in his steps? It's a day off. Listen, because it's a day off, I want to be super sure I walk in his steps. Because if you walk in his steps, you're going to see cool stuff. Great things are going to happen. You'll be right in the middle of his will. It doesn't matter if you're flying a kite or you're working hard at your office or whatever it might be. Do you understand that? Lord, you've promised to go ahead. You've promised to direct my steps. You've promised to ordain the way that I should go. And so, God, I bring you as I am. I delight myself in you. And, Lord, I'm just going to walk with you right now. Christian, I believe if you pray that prayer unto the Lord and walk with him because he goes ahead of you, that you will not fail. He will keep you, as Jude 24 says, from falling. I believe he's very faithful to do that. Next, verse 19, as you walk in the same Christ. Can you circle that? That sounds silly, doesn't it? But not at all, not in our day and age. Again, do you think that we excuse ourselves to you? Paul's being sarcastic. He's saying, do you think we have to offer up some excuse to you guys because and offer some apology for how we've conducted ourselves? Are you kidding? We have sought to be flawless in front of you. We speak before God in Christ. That's an awesome statement. Paul is calling heaven and earth to be witness of his witness. This is a good man. Paul can say, I'm asking heaven to bear testimony to how we lived our lives in front of you. But look at this. We do this in Christ. The example is Christ. It's all about showing Jesus. And he says, but we do all things, beloved or brethren, for your edification. Is that not like Jesus? Don't you think, listen, everything he did built people up in the right way. The woman caught in the act of adultery. You would not normally think that that event built her up. But let me explain it to you, I believe. She was caught in the act of adultery. It wasn't a rumor that she had committed adultery. She got caught. Can you imagine? Sheets flying, clothes blanketing up, shock, terror. You die in that culture for this. They drag her to Jesus, throw her down, and say, Moses demands that she be stoned to death. What do you say? What a pickle, huh? Unless you're Jesus. Well, yes, you're right. Moses does say to stone her, so you guys go ahead and get some nice big stones. They grow. Every time it rains in Israel, stones grow. So you pick stones, you get all stoned. Can you imagine those guys are like this? They got their stones, and those rocks are sharp. And okay, well, here's the deal. Whoever's without sin, come on up here and let her rip. Whoever's without sin, just throw the first stone. Let's go. Come on. Guys, come on. And the Bible says, as Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground, wouldn't you love to know what he wrote? He probably looked at a guy right there. He probably looked at this one guy. There's Bill. Can you imagine? Bill. Smoking dope out behind the barn. Looks over here. Fred robbed the Jerusalem 7-Eleven last week. Looks at the next guy. You know, Mike writes down there, Mike, been goofing off with Susie, you know, on the back seat of the donkey. He wrote something, and the Bible says, and they being convicted of their sins, set the rocks down and left. And she was set free. Jesus said, woman, where are your accusers? And she said, carefully, she said, can you imagine? Lord, I have none. That's not exactly true. All of her earthly accusers left. There was one standing in front of her who not only knew what had happened, he knew everything about her from the moment that she was born. And she said, can you imagine? I have no accusers. I wonder if she winced. And he said, woman, neither do I condemn thee. Go now and sin no more. Meaning, go now and don't live a sinful life any longer. You have a new life. Go live it. Go have fun, girl. Go live a life that's really living. Don't you think that was encouraging? I do. Have you noticed that whenever God catches us, he's always encouraging? But in his encouragement, he never condones. That list I read a moment ago, God is not just up there going, Jack, read it again. But read it with some flames back behind you. Get some smoke in the sanctuary. No, he's saying, listen, if this is going on in your life, here's the deal. I want you to get up and I want you to go live a free life. I want you to be encouraged. This is the God who loves you. He wants you to have a new life. This is the Christ that we walk with. Paul is saying, I walked with the same Christ that you guys heard of, the same Jesus that rose again from the grave. It's a glorious news. It's a glorious announcement. And when he says we do this for your edification, brethren, the word edification is a construction term. It means to build up. It means to lay a foundation strong that something may be built up until it is finished. What a glorious word. God lays the foundation. All the way up, God finishes the task. There's a bronze plaque I'm standing on. I don't know if you can hear the difference. But right here it says, underneath my feet, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 3:11, right here. Why? Why is this here? Because beneath this plaque are Bibles that the Gideons rescinded from all over the world because they were worn out. The hotels from around the world, these Bibles were worn out and marked up, and they sent them back, and we told the Gideons, we want these old Bibles. Why? We put them into the about 9-10 feet down in the bottom of this below my feet in the foundation. Why? Because we wanted this church to be built on the Word of God. But that wasn't all. We put those Bibles in a prayer shawl. If you remember that Saturday, which was October 5th, 2002, it says that here also. When that cement truck drove down the middle of the sanctuary. Do you remember that? And they backed it in, and we put that the big boom hanging over. We're getting ready to pour the cement. But we first took those Bibles, put them in a big Jewish, beautiful Jewish prayer shawl from Jerusalem, from the Wailing Wall. And do you remember what we did? Then we took some little rocks, little tiny rocks that we had all gotten from Israel with the trip that we'd gone the spring before. And we put the rocks inside there, and then we wrapped it up, and we put it down there, and the cement was poured. And the capstone was laid for this place. And so what in the world am I talking about? This is what I'm talking about. This is to be a place where God's word is our foundation. The second thing is, Jesus said, my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer. So we have the prayer shawl representing that. And then the stones. He said, what's with the stones? The stones, remember when Jesus was hailed as king on Palm Sunday and he was coming down the Palm Sunday path? And remember the Pharisees got their knickers all bent out of shape? They're all ticked off about that. And they said, Jesus, you command your disciples now to shut their mouths because this is heresy. This is out of control. This is wrong. And Jesus gave an amazing answer. Oh, it's awesome. Jesus said, and I wish he would have done this, by the way. He said to them, if I tell them to be quiet, all these stones will cry out. I wish he would have said, hey, guys, just for kicks. Shh. Can you imagine? Little rocks. Jesus is Lord. Big boulders. God rocks. God rules. He made us. So we brought the stones back. In case we ever stop worshiping God in spirit and in truth, the stones from beneath our feet will cry out. What's the point? Foundation. But we don't often think about foundations. We need to. Your house is built on a foundation. This building's built on a foundation. This place is amazing. I got to tell you, you guys, when the grounds that we're on, it used to be a dairy. Then it was a nursery. Then it was a cornfield. Then it was nothing, barren, dirt. Then we bought it. And then the contractor says, we need a check for $1 million. Excuse me? I remember the board we got together, and I remember practicing on a piece of paper, writing out. For you young people, it's called a check. You actually wrote it by hand. And you count the zeros. You get goosebumps. Boom. Okay, here you go. So then all these big trucks and earth movers move up, and they're tearing up the ground, and it looks really impressive. And then they're all done. Four weeks later, they're all done with that part. And okay, we're done. See ya. And they leave, and you come back here and say, what'd you do? It still looks the same. It's just flat dirt. Oh, we have to do this for this and the it's XO something down there needs to come up. That's it. What? $1 million for that? And then the next bunch of people come in, digging a bunch of holes. We need a couple million bucks for this. What? And then they get done. I don't see nothing. Oh, it's all underground. I want to see stuff above ground. I want to sit in it. I want to feel it. Oh, no, no, Jack, you don't understand. The most important part of the church and the most expensive part of the church, you'll never see it. It's what we build on. It's all the foundation. It's all the footing. And they cracked me up because this guy goes, and you'll be happy to know, this is the latest earthquake data, technology. If this place shook, man, all the walls would fall away, would fall out. And I said, if it fell out, what falls down? There's the ceiling. And the ceiling comes down. And he goes, yeah, exactly. There's like 1 million tons of air conditioning above this sanctuary. Well, yeah, but the walls don't fall on you. Well, I feel better. That's worth a couple $1 million right there. The point is foundations have got to be laid. If we don't lay them, we're going to be in trouble. Third and final argument, verses 20 to 21. They can, the world can, our kids know, our husband, our wives know. They know the way that we walk by our lives, period. We can't and we're not pulling the wool over anyone's eyes. They see, they know. They know the truth. Paul says to them, verse 24, I fear, I have this grave concern, Corinthians, that when I come, I will not find you like I want to find you. I want to find you guys awesome, excited, serving God, walking in obedience to Him, enjoying life, and being such a city on a hill that the Corinthians here in Greece are beating the door down to get into the church to find out truth. And to look at your lives and know their lives have been changed. That's what Paul wanted. But he's going to have to confront them. He's going to confront them. He's concerned about that. Our lives, by the way, let's be honest, need to be confronted. Confronted. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, if you know any Christian, brother or sister, who's been caught up into sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Wow. Do you know anybody? Listen, do you know anybody who's a Christian, but they're not going to church anymore? They're wounded. Something's gone wrong. They're hurt. They're not walking with God. They've walked away from God. Do you know anybody? Now watch this. It's going to get real personal here in a moment. Do you know anybody like that? God is saying to you, you go to that person. If you love them and you, listen, if you love them, you want to carry their burden like Christ carried our burden. When did that happen? At the cross. Jesus took my burden upon Him at the cross. So now God empowers you and I to go to our brothers and sisters who are no longer walking with God. They've given up. They let down their guard. Maybe somehow they've backslidden away. They've gotten sucked up by the world. I don't know. I don't need to know. But you know who they are. And God says in the word, go to them. And what? Go to them and condone it? No. Go to them and tell them it's okay. No. You go to them and you tell them, listen, I'm here right now because I love you and it's killing me that you're not walking with the Lord. They'll probably say, get off my doorstep. Right? Have you ever heard that? They'll probably say, why do you care? You say, listen, just give me 5 minutes and I won't ever bother you again if that's the decision you're making. I love you. I was at church today. I heard a message. It convicted my heart. And I just want you to know I'm praying for you. But listen, I can't condone the way you're living and what you're doing. God condemns it and I condemn it. That's not what I'm here. I'm here to tell you God wants you to come back. God wants you to come back home. The end is near. The world's gone nuts. Get ready to meet the Lord. I don't believe that. You could slip on a banana peel today. Be ready to meet the Lord. Man, I want you to come back to Jesus. Come on back. If they slam the door in your face, mission accomplished. If they come back or they call you or they later show up and say, you know what? I could have knocked you out at my door, but I tell you, you were right. I haven't been able to sleep since you spoke to me. And I'm broken. I'm dying. You know what? You've won your brother. You've rescued your sister from the brink. Now, here's where it gets personal. You know somebody like that, and you're thinking, well, I'll just hire somebody to go tell them that. You're thinking, I can't do that. Yes, you can. And you're supposed to. Because you're thinking, well, I'm not holy enough to do that. Listen, are you not here right now? You're here right now, and you're hearing this right now, and you know somebody who this applies to. God is telling you right now, when this service is over, you start making plans to go reach out to that friend who's wayward. Jesus is saying, I want to use you to bring them back home. I want to use you to get them to come back. That's how you walk with Christ. Isn't Jesus all about saving people? Isn't Jesus all about reaching them? And the confrontation that that's going to create? Listen, not all confrontation's bad. This would be good. We need to think right that way. Next, our lives need correction. Our lives need correction. He says this in verse 20. Now again, you guys, he's talking to a church. Look, would you attend a church that's like this? Hi, welcome. Welcome to the first church at Corinth, where you'll find contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions. We are masters at backbiting and whispering. And we are so conceited and we're full of arguments and tumult. Won't you join us today? Paul is giving a Holy Spirit assessment of the spiritual condition of the church at Corinth. Would you go there? The word contentions here means quarrel, to debate, strife, to be at variance. There's an old word called wrangling. You're full of wrangling. That's a fun word. Wrangling. It means that everything, you have to turn everything into wrangling. Oh, you know, would you guys, you want to have some lunch? You want to have hot dogs or hamburgers? Why hot dogs and hamburgers? Why? Everything blows up. You want to turn left or right? Well, why can't we just go straight ahead? Well, do you want to like drop dead now or live? Well, why do I have to choose? I mean, there's always something.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a lesson called By the Way You Walk, a look at the last six verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. By the Way You Walk is a multi-part series taken from Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse exploration of this New Testament letter, and we'll continue with more of By the Way You Walk on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, in recent weeks, we broke from our regular study and spent some time in a series called Politics and Your Faith. Many of our Real Radio listeners took advantage of our special offer at the time to get your hands on that CD series. Now, in this election year filled with political posturing, how is it that we are to select our leaders from a biblical Judeo-Christian perspective? Are there guiding principles we see in Scripture? Well, we wanted to let you know about a message by Pastor Jack delivered just a couple weeks ago called Understanding Where You Belong, the Christian in This World. Pastor Jack truly believes that the church is to fulfill our proper calling to be a biblical influence for righteousness in these last days. Now, you can watch this critical and timely message by Pastor Jack by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and then simply click on The Christian in This World. It's a must-see message for every American, particularly the American believer. Now, maybe you'd like to share it with a friend. If that's the case, we are going to make this DVD of Pastor Jack's message available for a gift of any amount to the Real Life Ministry. We just want you to watch it and share it with the people you know and love. So visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org to hear Pastor Jack's message called Understanding Where You Belong, the Christian in This World. Or again, if you're requesting the message on DVD, mention it by name, Understanding Where You Belong, the Christian in This World, or very simply, the Christian in This World, when you call or write. Our address is Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. That's Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our phone number, if you should ever need it, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.